Beloved, our second reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, reading in the 9th chapter. Listen for God's word to the church. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Beloved, this is the word of the Lord. When I began my interim pastorate here at Wayne Presbyterian Church 6 months ago, I anticipated a quiet and gentle transition into the role of pastor for congregational care. Imagine my surprise and great chagrin when Pastor Casey introduced me to the congregation and added the comment that I'm a Giants fan. Really? It amazes me how quickly one learns that one belongs to the enemy camp when it comes to football teams. But don't get me wrong, because I will cheer for the Eagles when they play against teams other than the Giants and Aaron Rodgers. Yes, I said Aaron Rodgers, not the Packers. The two-day training for the Eagles begins on July 24th. Players coming off the injured reserve list and those who are rookies and veterans will be reporting to camp. Do I sound a little bit excited about football? The one thing that is difficult for me to reconcile with is the fact that there are players who will have to be released from the franchise. There are myriad reasons why the National Football League players would be cut from their team rosters. Some people are let go because of career-ending injuries, and others are charged with criminal misconduct during the off-season, rendering them unfit to play the game. Despite the sad and scandalous reasons for the changes in the team lineup, many people, mostly fans, will have already turned their eyes toward the start of a new season in football. In our scripture reading this morning, we find that Jesus has reached a new stage in his ministry. The gentle, loving healer and teacher is wearing a new mantle. He appears to be in what one might call a hurry-up, no-huddle offense. Sounds, once again, like a prophet. In football, this is when the quarterback informs the offensive players that they need to execute a play quickly to avoid any disruptive defensive strategies. Jesus has his course set firmly for Jerusalem and is preparing for a time when he will no longer be physically present with his disciples. His goal was to come to earth and teach people the right way to worship and serve God. He also came to show us how we should live as children of the Most High. His purpose is to usher in the kingdom of heaven and God's eternal reign of peace and love. Jesus and his disciples were making their way to Jerusalem. He sent two of them ahead to a town to make preparations for this next chapter in his ministry. The town to which the two were sent happened to be a Samaritan one. Samaritans and Jews were both descendants of the Abrahamic tradition. They were closely related to one another, but because of the many periods of oppressive exile and separation, the two groups began to develop their religious practices along different lines. Naturally, they argued over who was right or wrong about the execution of certain rituals. The fighting got even worse when the Jews claimed that the only temple in which they could offer true worship to God was in Jerusalem. It must really have made them mad when they found out that Jesus was going to pass through their town on his way to Jerusalem. So they refused to allow James and John to make preparations from the resources they had. The people in that place did not know who they were dealing with, but it was none other than the two brothers. They were a force to be reckoned with, and anyone who grew up with them would have told them, don't mess with those blokes, no. The Samaritans denied their assistance. These brothers burned on a short wick. They had explosive tempers, and Jesus even teased them about it, calling them Boanerges, the sons of thunder. They were livid that Jesus was not afforded hospitality. They wanted to call down fire from heaven to burn up the Samaritans. And this notion of fire being called down from heaven was familiar to them because they knew about the prophet Elijah, who had called down fire from heaven to burn up the offerings that the false prophets had tried to burn to their gods. But Jesus offers a quiet rebuke. He is a non-violent person. And one would think that after spending 3 years with him, the disciples might have caught a clue about how they were to conduct themselves with God. On their way to the next town, they encountered three people who heard about Jesus. The three men pledged to follow Jesus, yet his response to each profession of would-be loyalty is puzzling. It's not time to say goodbye to your family, just follow me. It's not time to pay attention to societal norms by burying one's parents or putting one's affairs in order. Just follow me now. The answer to the second one seems particularly harsh. So I've got to go and bury my father, and Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. And yet, when we study the meaning of that text, we learn the reason for Jesus saying so. He's trying to prepare and refine their purpose to understanding what is required of those of us who would follow Christ. Jesus turned his face toward Jerusalem, knowing that his unconditional commitment to God for the salvation of the world would mean the end of his life here on earth. Jesus does not want us to claim to be Christians frivolously without understanding the deep commitment to God's justice and peace that is implicit in claiming that name. So let us explore together what this call to ministry is in Christ's name. We do, however, need to put on our gospel glasses so that we see the world as Jesus does. Christ wants us to be spiritually fit in order to claim the name Christian. Running drills in the heat of the day and working out in the gym is the way in which football players ensure their physical fitness for the game. We have a different, and I like to think easier way of doing things, becoming physically and spiritually fit. We can exercise our hearts through Bible study and Christian education classes. Attending worship regularly can also keep us on track, as does praying through every situation in our lives. Jesus wants us to prioritize our lives in such a way that he is given the highest priority. Becoming a Christian, or said another way, becoming a disciple of Jesus, means that one is saying yes to the invitation to put Christ first always. When Jesus told the man to let the dead bury their own dead, he was saying those who are spiritually dead are the ones who are concerned about society's mores and norms. Those who have declared themselves to be Christians should understand the expectation of ministry. This is not only set aside for those of us who go to become ordained ministers, but to all who follow Christ. Because if you remember Peter's letter to the churches in Asia Minor, he says this, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." That can be found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So what would it mean for each of us to claim our priesthood? For followers of Jesus the Christ, it means understanding that there will be times when the message of our Savior will be dismissed as invalid and outdated. Jesus knew the feeling of being rejected. If we're gut level honest with ourselves, many of us can recall instances when we were not chosen or wanted. Perhaps we didn't get on the right team to play dodgeball. Maybe that dream job that you thought was tailor-made for yourself didn't pan out. It could be that the first university that you applied for sent out a letter saying that you had not been accepted to study at that institution. Then there's the apple of your eye, the one who makes your heart flutter, who would be a perfect life partner. However, when one asks the person out, the other person responds saying, "I've only ever thought of you as a friend, nothing more." Jesus knew such disappointment when the Samaritans would not host him and his friends in the village. One couldn't really be surprised because of the religious and racial animus that existed between the Jews and Samaritans. So what are we to do when we face such disappointment? Some people face that kind of disappointment in the public square. They face ridicule and humiliation and the refusal to allow them to continue practicing their skills and crafts that they love. Colin Kaepernick, former quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, faced a tough battle when none of the NFL teams would offer him a tryout or hire him because he chose to kneel during the national anthem in solidarity with Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, and other unarmed black and brown people who had been killed by the police. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream of living in a society which was equitable and peaceful, with people of all races living together. His Christian ideals were so threatening to some that they assassinated him. Beloved, you and I may face disagreements with others around us when we raise both big and small issues that plague our nation. One cannot ignore the stories, images, video evidence of children being kept in cages at our southern borders. Several children became sick and died because they were given inadequate medical treatment. These children have not only been separated from their parents, but they are left in their soiled, dirt-caked clothes without soap and toothpaste or anyone to bathe and care for them. The real kicker for me is this. We, the taxpayers, are footing the bill to the tune of $775 per child per day. Now, for any one of you who travels, we book hotel rooms when we travel for business or for vacations, and we know that our hotel rooms will be well stocked with fresh towels, several bars of soap, shampoo, mouthwash, a private loo or toilet, and a shower included in the price. A hotel that charges $775 per night better include dinner. Instead, these wee ones, who are precious in Jesus' sight, were left to sleep on concrete floors with Mylar blankets. This inhumane practice has got to end. Our immediate call is to live life that Jesus calls us to as his disciples. Luke tells us in chapter 4 that Jesus in the temple reads from the scroll of Isaiah, proclaiming that he came to heal the sick, to clothe the naked, befriend the lonely, and preach release to the captives. Believers are also challenged with the proclamation in Matthew 25, verse 40, that says, "Whatever we do to the least of Christ's siblings, we do to him." So once we have reconciled these facets of our faith, we are then able to turn our faith, turn our faces towards the kingdom goal. Our worship, outreach, and Christian education are on point in this church. However, siblings, we are being asked by Jesus to put our shoulders to the plow and to move forward in order to express our prophetic call. We need to do something about this shameful page in our nation's history. Yes, Christ is calling you, Lisa, Mark, Kathy, Tom, Vijay, to preach about God's mercy and great love. You and I know that old adage that actions speak louder than words. If so, then the manner in which we conduct our lives and address the ills of the world will be a loud testimony to the God in whom we believe. Do we allow injustices to continue unchecked in our neighborhood, in our town, in our country? Will we allow this unjust separation of children from their parents to continue? Do our lives speak about peace? Or do they perpetrate the violence and lies against our neighbor when we claim that they are rapists, murderers, and by dehumanizing them? If someone were to install a hidden camera in our church, in your home, in your office, would they record something that you would proudly show Jesus? Or would it cause us to lose the respect of our family and friends? Beloved, Jesus is sending us out to proclaim the kingdom of God to this needy and broken world. May everyone see and experience the manner in which our lives are lived as sermons that we are preaching to the glory of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen.